Be open in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, and that's where we're going to find ourselves sometime during this message. Just go ahead and be there, and we'll get there sometime. So just be there. Several years ago, Clarice and I went to Washington, D.C., and our kids were this big. They were very young and probably too young to really appreciate what was going on in Washington, D.C. And so we were going through there several days, and we were seeing, you know, this thing and that thing, and just so much history. It's so vivid, so alive in Washington. And the day before we left, we were getting on the elevator, and as we were on the elevator going back to our room, Clarice asked the two kids, says, what was the best part of the trip? What is the best part about Washington, D.C.? And they both looked at each other and said, wow, that indoor swimming pool was cool. In the middle of so much history, in the middle of greatness, in the swimming pool was great. Our last day there, we went out to Arlington Cemetery. And when we got out of the car and started walking by the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and watched the changing of the guards, and then as we began to walk out towards all of those thousands and thousands and thousands of those white crosses, our kids got it. We got it. And as we were looking at all of those crosses, it occurred to me that every cross there represented someone who served this country and died. And then it made me realize that the cost of freedom is blood. And shame on us if we don't take a moment from time to time and give thanks to those men and women who gave their life for this country, just as we did last week. Visit with me another cross, the cross of Calvary. And when we look at the cross of Calvary, we see Christ on the cross frozen in a moment of time. And when we look at that, we see a picture that changed the universe for eternity. When we look at the cross, we see that we have been saved by the work of God through our faith. Scripture tells us that we've been saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It was a free gift of God. And not of works, because if it was of works, you know us, we'd boast. But it's a free gift of God. We have freedom in Christ. But friends, the cost of that freedom was blood. It was the blood of Christ. I think sometimes that we come to times like this and we just sort of flippantly walk through the doors of church and come and just worship. It's just another thing. I think sometimes that we come and it becomes, we do it so often that it becomes so common. It becomes so traditional. It becomes so habitual that we lose the total thought and the total reason of why we come. Today we come to remember. But how soon we forget. We come today to remember what Christ did for us. When Christ was having the last Passover meal with his disciples, he knew what was fixing to take place. He knew that it was going to be in just a few short minutes that life was going to change as he knew it. Life was going to change as the disciples knew it. There was a change coming. And he wanted his disciples to remember him. He wanted the disciples to remember the event and what it meant. He wanted them to know that the old covenant of sacrificing animals for the forgiveness of sins was being replaced by the new covenant, his blood. As he said in Matthew 26, verse 28, he says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin." So let's remember this new covenant today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What does it mean, the body broken, the blood shed? Sometimes when preachers get up to preach, and we've already had the song service, and we're moved by that, and God does such a wonderful job of bringing us to the point of worship and worshiping in that. But a lot of times when the preacher stands up to preach, you check out. You begin fidgeting, looking at the bulletin, looking at other things. People, don't check out today. We've come to remember. We've come to remember. Mentally, travel with me. The Passover meal. They're at the meal and they're sitting around the table and they're eating. And it's supposed to have been a night of fellowship and a night of a good time together during the Passover meal, that they would come and commemorate what God had done for them for the passing over, the death angel. And so that was supposed to be a time of thankfulness and a time of a time of remembrance. And while they were having the meal, Jesus, being the ultimate teacher, was teaching to the very end. He was trying to teach them what was fixing to happen, for he knew. He knew what was fixing to happen. He knew that there was going to be a time of agonizing prayer. He knew that there was going to be a time of arrest. He knew that there was going to be a time of betrayal. He knew that there was going to be a time of when all of his disciples would forsake him. He knew that there was going to come a time of beating. He knew that there was going to come the time of the cross. And he was teaching his disciples to the very end. He was teaching. He knew that this wasn't going to be just another Passover meal. It was going to be different. He knew that, but they didn't. And I wonder how many times that we walk through those doors. And I wonder how many times that we show up on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, whenever we come to gather together. And I wonder how many times we come and the Lord didn't want it to be just another meeting. He didn't want it to be just another message. He didn't want it to be just another song service. He wanted to meet with us intimately. And we just didn't know it because it was just another meeting. It was just another time to gather together. It wasn't just another Passover meal. His heart was heavy. And after the Passover meal, one of the Gospels say that they sang a song. And then they went to the garden where they had gone several times before to pray. It was a place that Jesus went to pray. And as he got to the garden, he told eight of the disciples to wait outside the garden. But he took three with him to the inner part of the garden. And he told them to watch and to pray with him. And then he goes further into the garden where he begins to pray. And agonize and pray. He prayed so fervently that his blood, his sweat of his brow turned into drops of blood. In his prayer, oh, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way to do this, let it happen. I don't want to drink the cup, Father. Can we let it pass? But get this, not my will, but yours be done. That was a prayer of surrender. Surrender. Not just surrender for a moment, but he surrendered it all. A total surrender. And I wonder, have you had your Gethsemane? Have you gone to Gethsemane and prayed to the Father and said, not my will, but yours? Have you come to the point of total surrender to the Lord? You see, this wasn't just another prayer meeting. This was a total surrender by Jesus to his Father. Shortly after the prayer meeting, Jesus was arrested. And I didn't really tie this together and put this in order until I began to study this. Jesus went before four judges, and he had five trials. When he was arrested, the first place he went to the Jewish court called the Sanhedrin, and the high priest was Caiaphas, but they didn't take him to the high priest. They took him to Annas, the former high priest, the father-in-law of Caiaphas. And so he goes to Annas and begins to ask Jesus questions, and Jesus didn't answer the questions, so he said, go to Caiaphas. And so he goes to Caiaphas, and Caiaphas is where they had people who started giving false reports about Jesus and falsely accusing Jesus. And it was before Caiaphas that they said, okay, we charge him with blasphemy, a charge that was conjured up but was worthy of death. They couldn't do that to one of their own, so they sent him to Pontius Pilate. And before Pilate, as he's asking questions, he realized that, wait, he was in Galilee doing all of this, so I need to send him to the Galilean ruler, Herod. So then he sends him from Pilate to Herod. Herod wanted to meet Jesus. He had heard of Jesus. He heard about the miracles that he had done. He had heard about all the things he did. So Herod wanted to see those miracles. But Jesus didn't perform the tricks for him. And when he didn't perform the tricks for Jesus, he sent him back to Pilate. Do you get it? From Annas to Caiaphas to Pilate to Herod to Pilate. Nobody wanted Jesus. Nobody wanted Jesus. Do you? Do you want Jesus? This was not just another trial. Pilate finally gave in to the crowd. He gave the Jews what they wanted. It was customs of the time to release another prisoner, and they hollered Barabbas, a murderer. Barabbas, a murderer, was released, and the Son of God was crucified. They released Barabbas, but Pilate, wanting to appease the Jews, said, I know what I'll do. I'll have him scourged. I'll have him whipped. Then that'll be enough. And so they sent him off to be scourged. But you have to understand that during this time of going back and forth from Pilate to Herod, back to Pilate, the Roman soldiers did what they do best. They took Jesus and they put him in a blindfold. And while he was blindfolded, they began to hit him in the face. And when they would hit him in the face, they'd say, oh, you're so smart and you have such great miracle worker. Who hit you? And they did that over and over and over again. They even took his beard by their hands and literally ripped the beard out of his face. And now Pilate was sending him to be scourged. People were scourged three ways in those days. One was with a rod where they whipped him on the back. Another one was by a flagellum, they call it. And it was a whip of three cords. And in the in the whip, there were little beads of metal or lead. And then when they would hit the person with that whip, it would bruise the very body to the just wouldn't cut the skin. It would just bruise them all over. But tradition says the one they used on Jesus was called the flagrum. It was chains. And in the chains were bits of bone and metal. And the executioner knew his job well. They would bring the victim to the point of the post where they would strap them, some say to a post with a ring where they would be tied into the ring. Some say that it was at a platform where they would have to grab a hold of a stop sticking up and they would have him chained to that. But in both instances, their whole body was exposed. And then the executioners would begin with the chain and they would swing and they would hit the back of the one that was to be punished. And those bits of metal and bone would stick into the skin. And the only way that they could get it back was to rip it back. And as they would rip it back, so would the flesh be ripped off the body. Skin at first, muscle next. And it didn't take long for the blood to flow. And they did it over and over and over. Scripture tells us that when they looked at him, the people were so appalled and would throw back at the look of the way he looked. It also says that when they looked upon him, they couldn't tell if he was man nor beast, human or an animal. They couldn't tell. He was such a bloody mess. In 1 Peter, Peter says that, using Isaiah's quote, he says, "With his stripes we are healed." Very interesting, that word stripes, when translated in the Greek, is a word melupai. And that word means single. Get this. Jesus was beat so bad with those whips and chains and bone and metal that you could even count the stripes on him. It was just like one bloody mess from head to foot. They couldn't count. So it was with a single. They just saw it as one. And with that stripe, we are healed. It wasn't just another scourging. When they sent him back to Pilate, as they were moving their way back to that point, the Roman soldiers did their thing again. They put a purple robe on Jesus. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and they began to mock him. They began to get on their knees before him and say, "Oh, King of the Jews, King of the Jews." And all the while that they were walking him to the place of crucifixion, they were mocking him, and the blood began to dry into that robe. And then when it was time, they took the robe and ripped it off on his way to the cross. My friends, Jesus should have died before he got to the cross. Only the Son of God could have endured the weight of the cross. Only the Son of God. And if that wasn't enough, he was brought to Calvary so weakened by the blows, so poor by the loss of blood, that he was so weak that he couldn't carry his cross, as was the custom. Someone had to carry it for him. And if that wasn't enough, they put one hand and the other on a cross beam and they drove nails through his hands. They crossed his feet and drove a nail through both feet into the vertical pole. And then they lifted that cross up and let it drop into that hole. Bam! And there Jesus hung. He hung as if suspended between heaven and earth, rejected by both. Rejected by heaven because A holy and righteous God couldn't see the sin that Jesus was fixing to become. Rejected by earth because they just didn't understand. And there Jesus died. But it wasn't just another crucifixion. This was the Lamb of God. This was the sacrifice. This was the one whose blood would be shed for the remission of many. This wasn't just another sacrifice. And you're probably thinking, this is too gruesome. This is too bloody. My friends, Hebrews 9:22 tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that is our testimony. And it's the cross of Calvary that is the symbol of that testimony. And we take so much for granted. This is my body broken. This is my blood shed. Church, don't let this be just another Lord's Supper. Come to the table broken. Come before Him today in all humility. Come before Him today with thankfulness. Come before Him and know what He's done for you. And friends, if you come to the table flippantly, if you come to the table as it just being common, you're coming in an unworthily manner. And church, if you know the life that Christ wants you to lead, but you choose to lead it otherwise, that is unworthily. And listen, you are guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. Come to the table, brokenhearted. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive me. Lord, when I don't do you justice, Lord. Lord, when I don't see you hung on the cross, Lord, and when I don't remember what you've done for me, oh Lord, forgive me. Lord, help us today have a true encounter with you. Lord, if we've never had our Gethsemane moment, Lord, let today be the day that we surrender. Lord, there's people here today that just don't get it. Lord, they don't know. They don't know you. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that they realize that the blood was shed for the remission of sins. It doesn't matter who they are. Lord, what they've done. Lord, the blood covers our sins. Lord, let them come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ today. Lord, we have homes that are hurting. We have people in pain. Lord, let today look past the pain, the hurt, and see the one who's going to heal. Lord, let us see you today, highly exalted and lifted up. Lord, let us see you today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Oh, I pray that you deal with the Lord today and let Him deal with you. What's the Lord leading you today? You need salvation? Today is the day of salvation. You just need to come before Him today and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. The altar's open. The altar around you is open. You can kneel there. You can kneel here. We're here if you want to come and pray. You come as the Lord leads.